Be seated. Going to read to you the Word of God from Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to 41. This coming right on the heels of the Jerusalem Council and the delivery of the letter. I thought perhaps by some miracle we might cover these verses last week, and of course you know that there's no way that was going to happen. So I will take these this evening together. Acts chapter 15, 36 to 41, I'm reading in the English Standard Version. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you've spoken to us in your word, which we've read. Speak to us now in the word as it is preached. And Lord, may your spirit move amongst us, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, Lord, and that our lips would be open to voice your praises ever the more, that our hearts would be filled with joy in the Lord. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Robert Frost famously penned the poem, which says, "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler, long as I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as far, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as far as that the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads unto way, I doubted I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in the wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." Here we have two roads that diverge, but two roads diverging because two people are disagreeing. There's a difference of opinion, a sharp division, and that division rises over one particular person, that person being John Mark. It's that disagreement and that division, that separation from two who were tethered so tightly together in the mission of God, Paul and Barnabas, that complicates what is otherwise a very simple passage before us. I could set this before you this way. We come at the end of a great council. There's a lot of unity after the apostles and elders have met in Jerusalem. Everyone's rejoicing at the delivering of the letter. And then Paul says, "Hey, Barnabas, let's return and check on all those churches we preached to." And Barnabas says, "That's a great idea. Let's go." I mean, ultimately, they agree on the mission. This is not intended from the outset to be a mission of new expansion into new territory, though that's what it will become through the providence of God. It is a missionary endeavor to go back to churches that were planted to encourage them to see not simply if the word was ever preached there, but to see whether or not those congregations are continuing in that word that had been preached. As we all know, it is one thing to hear the word of God once. It's another thing to continue to walk in it. And so the Lord shepherds his people, continuing to bring the sheep back into the fold. That's what Paul and Barnabas want to do. And the complexity arises only when we read that Barnabas wants to take along John Mark. And Paul says, that's a terrible idea. And they can't come to disagreement. Now, the disagreement isn't doctrinal. And so immediately, I think we actually start to enter into a text, one that is very common to our own life experience. Here, too common, maybe, where you have two people that come to loggerheads, And the issue isn't doctrinal. In one sense, that would be simpler. It's not moral either. It's an issue of discernment. It's an issue of discernment, not over whether or not we need to continue on this mission, but on who will go with us and how we will carry it out. And the result is a separation, easy to read on paper, but you have to open up that word, a separation of two that were as close as Paul as Barnabas. When folks get divided over disagreements like this, this is that we know what we need to do, but the way that we're doing it is must be this way or that way, it causes a lot of pain. I don't think, I'm not going to try to prove that point to you this evening. I think you know. Let's just take up extra. It's a lot of pain to be separated over something that you just seem like there's no point of resolution. And that's the point where we're left between Paul and Barnabas for the time being. We can read a simple passage, and yet the simple passage carries a lot more weight with us, I think, because we feel that. We say, okay, they're going to keep going, but now there's a rift of some kind that has divided them. And you start to see that Satan is always about trying to bring division and destruction in the church. It's no accident that this passage follows immediately on the Jerusalem Council, this great victory of Christian unity. And then you have Paul and Barnabas rejoicing in the same unity, just can't figure it out. Have you ever been in a disagreement like that where you're just saying, I see it one way, you see it another way? You think this person's going to be helpful to do it, I think we can't trust them. What's the moral ground for it? Can't know. Wisdom's known by her fruit, but you both feel strongly about it. That's what happens. The person stuck here in the middle of those two paths diverging is John Mark. Not the mission that causes the division, but this man, John Mark. You'll remember John Mark. He left them back after their trip to Cyprus in 13:13. But that's the chapter, Acts 13:13. We're a little bit before 13:13 AD. He was a child of a believing mother from the Jerusalem church, Acts 12:12, who had opened her home to believers. He was a cousin, we learn in elsewhere, to Barnabas. So maybe this starts to influence some of the conflict. Colossians 4:10 tells us that. We know John Mark was joined with Paul and Barnabas from Jerusalem after they had come from Antioch with that famine relief visit in chapter 11, verse 30. And 12:25, he'd come along as an assistant, and he was serving with them in Antioch. Now, that might be important, too. He came with them from his home to Antioch, and it's after that point that the Holy Spirit sets apart Paul and Barnabas by name to go farther in the mission, and they set out, and they take him along, perhaps farther than he ever intended to go. But he goes. It's difficult, I'm just bringing this up, it's difficult to peg the reason for why this dispute is so hot between Paul and Barnabas, because we don't know why John Mark departed from them. We're just told in Acts chapter 13:13 that he, after Cyprus, went home. He departed. We don't know why he left. Some have hypothesized that he missed home, that he needed to go back home to care for his mother as the trip was unfolding and getting longer. Some have said he was upset because Paul seemed to be upstaging his cousin in apostolic authority, which I think that one's ridiculous, because by the time you get to Lystra, even if that was the case, Barnabas was thought to be Zeus, which is the head god. So, but people think that maybe, because you have to try to guess something, right? Others have said, you know, maybe he left at the time right after the Gentile proconsul came to faith. Maybe because he initially had been of that same error that the Jerusalem Council solved, that he said, this guy just became a believer and wasn't circumcised. I don't want to go farther. We don't know. I'm just saying those are some possibilities. If it was the last one, the historical context would be really important for what we're reading, because this issue has just been brought to a close. Or if his the care for his mother was no longer something that he needed to tend to, or something like that. The situations change. All we know is that when we read from Paul's opinion, John Mark had not simply withdrawn, which is one Greek word, but that he had departed, and it's a very strong word used to express Paul's opinion of it, that when he says withdrawn from them. It's from the same word we get the word apostatize, but not from Christ, but of saying that he apostatized from us, he revolted, he deserted from us. Whether that's the case or not, we don't know. That's Paul's opinion. The other, when we're reading the historical account, it's another word that's used. But the issue for Paul here is trust. It's not whether or not John Mark is a Christian, whether or not it's right before they go on a long and arduous and a difficult journey to take him along as an assistant. So what's the right answer? You see? It's the difficulty of it. And you really want to have just this point where the Lord just breaks in and says, do this. But here we don't have that. We don't have the Lord setting apart anybody by name. Paul and Barnabas have already been set apart as missionaries for this, and they're free to take him along. They've done it before. But I think that's important to remember, too, when you think of how Paul is responding to John Mark going home in the middle of the trip, because we do read that the Holy Spirit had set apart Paul and Barnabas by name in chapter 13, verse 2. And we read in chapter 14, verse 26, that Paul and Barnabas, despite the fact that John Mark, their assistant, had gone home, fulfilled the mission that God had given them by his grace. So the mission was a success. And you can kind of maybe feel the turmoil in Paul there, where you would say, of course God did it. God's going to do what he's going to do. But there's a personal rift here of, but should I go through that process again if someone's going to maybe betray me in the process or leave me hanging in the process? But God was faithful throughout it. Does that mean he should never come again? We're not told which one is the right answer. Barnabas, on the other hand, seems to approach this differently. Barnabas has been a main character throughout the beginning portion of Acts, and he's going to cease being a main character after this point, because Luke in Acts is going to follow Paul's missionary journey. Barnabas is going to continue serving in the church, but we're just not following him. And that's why I think you have in verse 40, it says, they were commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord as they left. I don't think that's in contrast to Barnabas and John Mark as they go out. It's just Luke is starting to orient us towards a particular group as they separate. But Barnabas, you remember him? He's called the son of encouragement. You remember Barnabas is one who is noted for his generosity, a selfless kind of giving. And you remember that Barnabas, when no one in Jerusalem trusted this new convert named Saul, do you remember in chapter 9, it was Barnabas that went and brought Saul in and said, you need to, and he says, I'm going to tell you what happened to this guy. You need to hear what the Lord has done in his life. So that Saul then becomes a minister to those who he had previously persecuted. Incredible, but Barnabas did that. You remember Barnabas, who when he was sent out to see what was going on in Antioch, he went and found Saul in Tarsus and said, this man is useful to me for ministry, and brought him up to minister. That was Barnabas. You remember when he arrived in Antioch, Barnabas, we are told, it's a wonderful phrase, a tremendous thing to say. We are told he saw the grace of God. That's what we're told. He saw the grace of God amongst believers in Antioch. It doesn't say he saw the believers and the grace of God was active. It's as though the grace of God was his own thing to see, and that Barnabas was able to see it. And he was exhorting believers, right, to remain faithful to the Lord and steadfast in purpose. He's a good man. We read he's full of the Holy Spirit. Is Paul not a good man? Is Paul not full of the Holy Spirit? You see? This is the conflict that they reach. And it does seem to me, if I had to weigh which one was probably more properly oriented, I think it probably is Barnabas from the way that we've read it. It's to say, Paul, you need to see not what this man is, but what he could be. He was never one of the missionaries to begin with. He was an assistant. He can come along and help. Whatever the case, I could be wrong on that. That's how I read it when I read Paul and Barnabas' relationship from early on. Whatever the case, it does seem that the rift eventually did heal. Right, we read about Philemon in Philemon verse 24. We read about John Mark working with Peter in verse Peter 5:13. We read about Paul referencing to Barnabas again in 1 Corinthians 9:6, perhaps again in Galatians 2:13. And we read again in 2 Timothy 4:11 that John Mark is useful to Paul in ministry. And 2 Timothy being Paul's last epistle, he's with Paul at the end. It's amazing what the Lord can do. It's a painful time for the church. It's not just a personal division. It certainly disrupts and causes grief amongst the believers there. This sharp disagreement rises up so that Paul and Barnabas can no longer work together. Now, this is important, too. They don't start to pursue a different mission. One doesn't leave the church and the other one not leave the church. But they have to just essentially say, we're going to have to agree to disagree here and go forward the way that we find best. And if you use the what ends up happening by the providence of God here, if you use the maps in the back of your Bible, wow, thank you. The maps in the back of your in some Bibles have them, and you see, you know, Paul's second missionary journey, or maybe you have the first one overlaid with it. You'll see that the direction that Barnabas and John Mark go, they go back to Cyprus, to the island. That, you remember, that's where Barnabas is from. But he starts back. That was the first. That was where they made their first stop on their first journey. And they're going to start to work their way from the south to the north as they go. And Paul and Silas are going to go up the coast a little bit to Tarsus. You remember who's from Tarsus? Salt. So they're going up that way, and they're going to circle back. And what ends up happening is they end up with a route that one is coming from the top being the north, one's coming from the north, one's coming from the south, and they're covering double the ground in revisiting those same churches. And then, if you're still looking at your map, if you're not, don't worry, my hand motions are going to guide you the whole way. You see just how far Paul ends up going, because there's two groups out. This separation actually ends up leading to an extension of that missionary journey. It goes way beyond where they had been before. Paul ends up going with Silas all through Asia, and then into Macedonia, and then into Achaia, and then all the way back, so that the kingdom of God is expanded as the gospel is preached, both to those who are being strengthened in the faith that had already been delivered there, and then to places it had never been preached before. It's a painful passage of two paths diverging, and yet they're not two paths that really diverge from the work of God. What we see is a temporary parting by the grace of God, that it's temporary, a temporary parting over a disagreement that the Lord uses nevertheless for the good of his people and for the growth of his kingdom. And that comes back to, what do we do with the disagreement as it is presented to us? Because we're just not given an evaluation. I gave you a very tentative one. I gave you a very tentative one of maybe how we could read it. But I think maybe the purpose for that is that God gives us a passage like this for us to grapple with, because this is such an easy reality to come upon. I think he lets us not have, because is there a time when you when there are people that are not wise to maybe take along with you? There's times for that. Is there a time where you need to say, you know, I'm not going to hold you accountable for the worst thing that you've done, or I'm not going to hold you accountable to every mistake that you've made, but it's time to see the grace of God at work in your life. And I think we're given it something like that, but we're given a little bit more like that, more than that. I think we are also given light here to see how the church responds. Having been commended by the brothers to the grace of God, they go through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul and Barnabas separate from each other, but they do continue on that singular mission. And the church there commends them to the grace of God. We've seen this again and again in the book of Acts. That's not a throwaway term. As much as we say, oh, grace of God, grace of God, grace. What do you do when there seems to be an unsolvable riddle between two humans discerning what needs to happen? At a certain point, because we're humans, you say, we're going to commend you to the grace of God. You're both going to go to the field, and you're going to labor here, and you're going to labor there, and you're going to labor with so-and-so, and you're going to labor with so-and-so. This isn't a problem we can solve. This isn't a problem that the scriptures speak directly to, but here's a problem that God can oversee. And God can work within, even if the problem isn't going to be sorted out in front of us immediately. You guys keep pressing on that mission. And as you walk, we're going to trust that God is going to do good through you. And we're going to trust that this disagreement, that the Lord will bring it to a proper end as well. In other words, you see the result being two teams going out. One God, one mission. Relying upon his grace, they're going to visit churches from the south, from the north, and the mission is going to be extended much farther west. And we see that God's grace is abounding here, even when believers stumble into one of Satan's snares. And here, that's what I think it was. And I think Paul and Barnabas are human beings like you and me, and somehow they got snared up so that one man over whether or not he can come was able to divide them. And the Lord says, yeah, that's not going to stop my plans. I'll continue to work with you. Paul, you're not yet perfect. Barnabas, you're not yet perfect. John Mark, you're not yet perfect. I could say that to every one of you and myself by name. So the Lord says, you're not yet perfect. I'm going to use this, even this trial, to sanctify. You can read a lot of things that get touched upon this in Paul's epistles during this period. But I think it also gives us hope. I think it gives us hope when you come into seemingly unresolvable conflicts with other believers. Maybe you've never come across that. Maybe you have, maybe you will someday. And you just say, I don't know why we can't seem to see eye to eye on how we need to do these things. And you're saying, well, is one wrong or one not the other? Well, not necessarily, but I just... don't you see it's really not the right way to do it in this context? Someone says, no, you're right. Is that in seemingly unresolvable conflicts, we can commend ourselves to the grace of God and to continue on the mission that's laid before us. And we can trust that the Holy Spirit, who is at work in each and every believer, will be at work in our hearts to continue to draw us back one to another in reconciliation. And in all of this, I think there's a time of pain for Paul and Barnabas. There's a time of disruption or distress for the churches. The result is that the Lord continues to strengthen his churches through Syria, Cilicia, through wherever the apostles are going. And he takes the weight of the what if. God takes the weight of the weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, of the what if and the how off the shoulders sometimes of the church, of human beings. Say, how do you solve it? The Lord says, commend it to my grace. Sometimes that's where a conflict comes, and you have to wait. But we don't wait without hope, and we don't wait without putting it somewhere. You take that conflict, and you hand it to the Lord, and you say, Lord, I got to keep walking because you've called me to walk with you. I don't know how to solve this one. Here, I'm going to keep looking to you for it. And as you lead me and as you lead him or her, I'm going to trust they belong to you. And I'm going to trust that I belong to you. And if we belong to you, I'm going to trust you're going to work out what we just can't seem to do it. And I'm going to trust they're praying that way too. I'm going to trust that the church is going to be praying in that way as well. And all of a sudden, I don't know, I read this passage in a little bit of a different light with a lot more hope and a lot more of an uplifted head to say, sometimes you just have a little picture and then you have to wait. But there's a way that we're called to wait, and it's in prayer and it's in pursuit of the mission of God and it's in pursuit of Christ. And as we're each doing that, even as two paths maybe interpersonally start to diverge, isn't it within God's power to bring them back? Because aren't we all called to walk on one path? Christ himself, the way, the truth, and the life. Can't God do that? Yes. How? By the grace of God. Aren't we all sinners? Aren't we all going to the cross again and receiving a righteousness that is not our own? And the Lord then promising, if I purchased you with my blood, you belong to me. Will I not also continue to conform you to the image of my Son? If I begun the good work, will I not bring it to completion? It's the same God who the church commends Paul and Barnabas, Mark, Silas. It's the same God we serve today. It's the same God we wait upon sometimes in hard relationships or divisions. But it's the same God who still promises, I began the work, I'll be the one who brings it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that it speaks to us even in the complexities of our life. And even in the difficulties, God, that we can have, even amongst believers, to see eye to eye. And Lord, we thank you that we're not dependent on our own wisdom and strength to sort through some of these things, but we can come to you, Lord, entrusting ourselves into your hands and commending one another to the grace of God in these circumstances. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And we thank you for your Spirit, Lord, who is daily at work within us. Would you, God, continue to strengthen us, knit us together by that same grace? For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.